Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 69.
Ooh.
I have a 52 pickup for this reason, but we'll get to that in a second.
Is it steamy?
It's very steamy. No, I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Tim.
Tim is back.
Yay!
All right.
For the 69th episode.
Pervert.
Of course I'm back for the 69th episode.
You're so dirty.
Do you know me?
No, Jamie, you're dirty.
Speaking of dirty, just a heads up, this will be pretty not safe for work. And children.
And children.
Because, I'm going to talk about a softcore porn for my 52 pickup.
Oh.
One I grew up watching.
I'm excited to hear what this softcore porn is, because I don't remember seeing any softcore porn when I was a kid.
And make sure you go to Honesty Video to fulfill all your porno needs.
One day, they'll be like, hey, somebody's been talking about us for 35 years, and we should, we're still around somehow.
You should probably, throw them, $15.
Here's a free porno rental.
Yeah.
But if you don't know, this is a podcast where we discuss movies and topics about movies. Odd episodes are about movies, like today, and even episodes are about topics. And we are at notquitepod@gmail.com if you want to suggest either a topic or a movie.
Has anyone won the Force Awakens yet?
No. No one's even bothered.
Wow. We're giving away a digital copy of the Force Awakens, and nobody's emailed us for it.
Did anyone come at you for La La Land?
Nothing.
Nope.
No.
I even offered that $5.
Or before a trilogy.
Yep.
We need to discuss how to push this podcast out.
SEO, yeah, it'd be nice.
Let's do that.
But also, we are on Twitter at NQHPod and Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood, where you can communicate with us, discuss our episodes, also suggest topics in movies. I know some people don't like emailing anymore, but you never know. We'll see. One day somebody will say something.
Yeah, shoot us a comment. Shoot us a tweet.
In this episode, shoot us a load.
Sure.
There you go. Tim's like, yeah, sure.
Man.
Sure. I mean, that's my Monday.
You mean every day?
Just another Monday.
Another Monday. Listen, I don't whore out. I'm a Monday guy.
But we will start out with Tim, who has some great, I've heard, fantastic horror film.
I loved it so much. In a bad way.
Okay, let's, what I'm going to talk about, I watched a fantastic movie called Wish Upon last week-ish. I don't remember when I saw it. Oh my god, it was so bad.
So good, right?
No, I could not even, it was not even one of those things where I was like, oh, this is so bad that it's so good. It was just flat out, it was cringeworthy for me for most of the movie. And the big spoiler alert at the end, is this okay?
Spoiling.
When she gets hit by that car at the end, our entire theater just burst out laughing. Because it looked like, in Neighbors, when they get hit by the, what's that thing called? The airbags?
Yeah.
And it just looks silly. That's how she looked like when she gets hit by that car. And so I just thought it was redunk. I just couldn't take the movie seriously at all.
I do want to give them credit though for doing that ending.
That was such a studio ending. If they're gonna start teasing at the Mogwai and then you don't show anything and you just have a car fucking hit her.
Wait, Gremlins Mogwai?
Well, it's like one of those Chinese trolls, essentially.
Okay.
But, so pretty much the premise of the movie is that there's a girl, she's in a family that doesn't really have a lot of money, or at least her immediate family doesn't. Her mom died at the beginning of the movie. That's, the opening where she's, she see the mother come out and put something in the trash can neatly wrapped in, a paper bag or something.
So obvious.
And then she goes up, she tells, the daughter to go ride the bike down the block and come back. And by the time the girl comes back, the mother hangs herself in the attic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so she sees her hang herself. And so that's the opening, and I was like, ooh, this could be good. Then you find out that the girl's dad's like a dumpster diver, and she's always embarrassed by him, and she only has two friends, and there's a bully in school.
And she has a crush.
And she has a crush on one of the popular boys.
Yeah.
Of course. The dad finds this box. It's like an ornate Chinese wishing box in the dumpster. And so he's like, oh, this will be a good birthday present for my daughter. Fished it out of the garbage.
Yeah.
And so he gives it to her, and then she's somehow taking Chinese, which, by the way, even the Chinese teacher's pronunciation was off, which was funny. Then she looks at this box, and first off, this is okay. For people who don't know the Mandarin language or the Chinese language, currently, like in mainland China, they use what they call simplified Chinese characters, which is much easier to read because it's much simpler and takes fewer steps to write.
Yeah.
Traditional characters have a lot more strokes and they're much more beautiful to see. And like Taiwan still uses them. There's different areas that still use traditional characters. And even people who do use a simplified Chinese, they do like learn how to read some of them.
So it's kind of like learning cursive and standard in school. They learn both.
Kind of. That would be the... Not really, because Chinese is the only, like, currently the only pictographic language left.
Okay.
And so all of the characters, you can't just figure out what they are just by looking at it. You kind of have to dig into what it means.
Oh, because like, they each mean words. Okay.
So you have to really dig into it before you can learn what a character means.
Yeah.
Because it's not just learning the character itself. You have to know what when it's used in the sequence, and if it's not in the right sequence, then it can mean something completely different.
Yeah.
It's a very weird written language. And it takes a long time to figure it out. So when this little girl who's been learning Mandarin for, like, I can probably only tell, like, 1 year.
Maybe,
because she's in high school. Yeah. Like, how much Mandarin can you really learn in high school? You look at this box that's written in ancient Chinese, not even traditional. This is ancient Chinese. And you're looking at this box and you can figure out 7 wishes? No. Like, you know, it doesn't really work that way. Even if she were somehow able to figure out that out, it's like, 7 wishes, great. Fine. Story moves on.
Did she Google it? I thought she Googled.
She Googled. Yeah, this is the other thing. This is, you don't type that way. Like, you can't look at a traditional sequence of characters and be like, ooh, let's pull out my iPhone and type those characters in.
Mm.
The way it works is if, like, so each character has, like, 1 syllable to it.
Mm-hmm.
And each syllable can have up to 5 tones. Technically 4, but there's, like, a neutral tone. So there's, like, 5 quote-unquote tones that you have to know. So what it is, like, so if a character was S-H-I, shi, then you have to type in S-H-I using English into the computer, and then it'll come up with the sequence of characters that have S-H-I as their pronunciation.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of characters, and you find it, and then you click on it. So you need to know how these characters sound before you can type them in.
Mm-hmm.
There are different, like, search engines online where if you can find, they have, like, a little box where you can use your mouse to stroke it in. They're called strokes, and so you can, like, actually,
a lot of things are called strokes.
Exactly.
Episode 69.
Exactly. So you can find a way to, like, write that in and see if it comes up. But then, like, you could have easily even just been like, okay, she pulled out an app on her phone and she tried to draw it in. No, they pull out her phone and you see, like, characters on that thing that doesn't even, it's, I was just like, no, this is not even,
it's lazy.
Who did you consult? Like, you didn't consult anyone who spoke Mandarin with this project.
This is nice to hear from you, because for me, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Exactly, and that's why I'm like, I'm sure the studio executives who don't know anything about Mandarin or Chinese, I was just like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, and then also, this is, it could mean this, and it could also not, but then I've heard it being used this way, but, you know, the cousin who lives in that loft.
The cousin of the Asian guy who likes her?
Yes. She studies traditional Chinese characters, and that's her, like, blah, blah, blah. People do that, which is great. Their apartments first don't always look like that. That's a very, like, stereotypical, there's a yin and yang, and there's a Buddha statue, and there's a whole bunch of ornate random things. No, that's not always how people's apartments look, especially if they're, like, Chinese-American. No, it doesn't really work that way.
What was the coolest thing in the apartment?
The coolest thing was that neon sign in the back that said, okay, from what I can read, it was Guniang, which means girl, like, young girl. It's sometimes used as, like xiaojie, which is what they call in, like, restaurants when you say, like, xiaojie. Sometimes they're like, waiters, waitress, blah, blah, blah. But then both of those terms sometimes can be used as, like, service girl, which means prostitute.
Yeah.
It could. It doesn't mean prostitute itself, but then it's one of those slang terms that sometimes have been referred to prostitutes. And you have that as a neon sign in the back?
Yeah.
Like, why does this make sense?
Yeah.
Like, what? It's kind of like when you see someone get a tattoo and they're like, oh, this means, like, strength. And it's like, no, that means you have a small penis. Like,
oh my God.
You just do a little more research about what you're putting on the screen, especially if it's a studio movie. Like,
yeah. I don't think it was.
Well, it was distributed by, and it was lots of big stars. I mean, I love Ryan Phillippe. Yeah, no, it was a semi-strong movie that you were able to get some name stars attached. If you were doing this, why not look it up a little bit more and just figure out what to put in the back? Like, I don't understand whose decision it was, but all of those things was just small things that I was like, I would have complaints about because I know these things and I grew up in China.
My favorite thing was the garbage disposal. When she was putting her hand down the disposal, and then they turned on the stove, and I was like, oh, they're going to trick us and do the stove thing. Like, that's kind of cool to, like, you know, switch it up. But then they're like, no, we're going back to the garbage disposal. We're going to do it even stupider. And her like, ponytail gets caught in it, and her head's going toward it, and then it just breaks her neck. And I was like, oh, my God. Her hair would cut off first, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, even
so
if
so dumb.
Wait a minute.
It would, like, if it got caught in the disposal, like, even if it was a huge chunk that got caught, like, normally, if anything touches that, that's not... They have a sensor in there now, kind of like buzzsaws do. So, like, if certain things that they know they shouldn't be down there gets caught, it immediately stops. So that's already one thing. But
just the science of it pulling hard enough to break her neck, like, that's not even a thing.
I feel like the way that it broke her neck was because she, like, somehow fell on the counter.
Oh.
However, I don't think anyone's stupid enough to be like, oh, I left the garbage disposal running. Here's my hair. I'm going to look into it with my hair.
Yeah.
Who does that?
So the sequence of events is disposal and then the stove. That's directly out of Final Destination
The disposal, she had her hand in the disposal. You could tell, you knew the box was going to kill her because every wish it has to kill somebody. So the box was like doing its music thing. And they were switching back and forth. And so then the stove turned on. And you were like, oh, they're going to do it that way. And she took her hand out. But then she goes back and the stove turns off. And you're like, oh, okay. So it's kind of like Final Destination where, like, there's something trying to kill them with the elements.
Also, the car thing is the bus thing in Final Destination when she gets hit by a bus. Is the car out of context or is it referencing a wish she had made?
No, so the car, it's because when you took all seven wishes... Your soul goes to the devil, so it killed her, right? Is that what it was?
Pretty much, he'll come and take your soul.
So he was basically taking her because she made all seven wishes.
I felt like that was just the big cop-out of the entire movie, was that they started talking about this legendary, like, this legend of this lady. First off, also, this was the other thing. You looked at a sequence of characters. There's very rare times when you can automatically... Like, there are times when, you know, there are common names, but then if you're looking at a character... And it's not, it's like a traditional character or something like that. You can't just know, oh, this is someone's name.
Yeah.
You don't really typically know how to do that. Like, if it's like a sequence of characters, especially if it's ancient Chinese, like, you'll be like, oh, this isn't a word I'm familiar with. You look into it and it's like, oh, this might be a name.
Okay.
You can't just look at that and it's like, oh, that's not a word, that's a name. And then they're like, oh, let's look her up and she's just there. I was like, it was so convenient and way too easy. And then now they start talking about this, like, Mogwai, like, Chinese troll character that's gonna take her, essentially. And they don't show anything. Like, they don't show her go crazy. They don't show anything about how this thing is actually affecting her.
Well, when she was
playing super crazy because she's like, I need to be crazy. Oh my God, I'm gonna... I'm like... Oh, all of the deaths I thought was just so like, oh, of course, this is how she's gonna die.
Yeah.
This is how this person's gonna die. Oh, and the thing that drove me nuts was like the wishes that she made, they were just so menial.
I know. And like, it was like, why don't you wish for your mom back or the dog? Or like, when the dog died, I was like, the next wish should be, I want my dog back.
Yeah. Like, there was nothing that was like, oh, I wish I was the most popular girl in school. It was literally one of the wishes that she wished for.
There's also one what I saw in the trailer. I wish she would just rot.
Yeah, that was the first one.
But that was like, okay, I feel like that one is okay.
Yeah, that was fine.
You sometimes do wish that people...
Wait, but my question is this, does the wishes typically kill others? Because at the end of those seven wishes, you get killed, right?
Yeah.
You get taken, yes.
Does everybody else die on every wish?
So, no, it's... It kills people that are close to you.
Well, not necessarily even close to you. It's just you need to have a blood sacrifice to have the wish granted.
Oh, okay.
And when the music stops, the blood sacrifice will be taken.
Yeah. So, yeah, the uncle died, and then she was like, I wish all of his money would go to me. And then she was rich. And I was like, what a bitchy wish right there. Like,
so this is a great movie, you're saying?
Yeah, it's a fantastic
movie. It's a fantastic...
I don't know who wrote this and who thought this was a good idea to just greenlight and go for it.
I thought it was so bad that it was fun. I thought it was hilarious. Oh. If you have the chance to see this for free, don't pay for it.
You don't ever pay for it. Like, Redbox it, maybe. Yeah. But it was just...
I thought it was hilarious.
It was just... Ugh.
Barbara Marshall wrote this movie.
Oh, of course she did.
Thanks, Barbs.
She must have really did a research with Chinese, ancient Chinese.
Yeah, because she's...
She wrote Triple Dog and Viral, last year's Viral.
This is what makes me very angry. We need a lot more people of ethnic voices writing things. However, I don't know why there's not an uproar of people when they see a black artist write something that's very Chinese... And try to do something like that, and then they're okay with that?
Yeah.
Like, Man with the Iron Fist, somehow RZA's character is, like, the biggest kung fu master in the world? What the fuck?
It's RZA.
RZA. Whatever. I don't care.
He wrote it. He wanted to be. He loves kung fu.
He wanted to be in it because he wanted to be very, like, oh, yes. I had a lady, a black lady, come up to me because I was taking headshots and resumes for the studio tour.
Yeah.
And she literally hands me her paperwork and says, Domo arigato.
Oh,
and I was like, bitch, I'm not even Japanese.
Yeah.
So you're thinking you're being culturally sensitive, air quote sensitive, and then you're thinking that I'm Japanese. Yikes. And you're saying that everyone, like you, and this is something I have heard, that black people cannot be racist. How is that not racist?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You guys didn't mention that Barb's in this movie.
Who?
Stranger Things, Barb.
Is she? I didn't even recognize her.
She's one of the friends.
Oh, June? That's her?
Yeah.
Oh.
Can I see?
I was staring at her the whole movie, and I was like, she was the one that didn't die.
Oh, she was so bad.
Yeah?
In this movie. I just feel like everyone, all these actors could be so good. Like, yeah. I love Joey King in Conjuring. I love Ryan Phillippe. They were all so bad.
And that app that the other friend was so dumb.
Oh, yeah, the monster catcher or whatever it was.
She was like, I'm going to go catch these monsters.
Pokemon Go? Back.
And it was kind of like that.
They were trying to be so relevant to everything and being like, oh, yeah we're going to try to get all the teens to come watch this and we'll make this PG-13.
Yeah.
No. If they really wanted to make this a good one, they should have made this rated R and try to make Final Destination.
That'd be great.
Like, they really should have pushed that boundary. They didn't.
We accidentally came across a really good... We should move on. Because this movie sounds like a garbage fire.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was just very upset.
Yeah, sounds like it. I appreciate the passion.
Thank you.
But I want to talk about a film. Okay, don't look at this, because IMDb will ruin it.
Okay, I'm looking away.
So my film is the new release that's very new. Right now it's only in LA or NY.
New
it's called Brigsby Bear. Yeah, it's so fucking dumb, because the first synopsis ruins part of it, and then the second synopsis ruins the other half. It's so fucking annoying. So no spoilers for Brigsby Bear, because Brigsby Bear is so fucking new. I have a review on We Need Movies, but I really wanted to talk about it because it was such an inspirational movie. And so either one of you watched SNL with Kyle Mooney or Beck Bennett?
I did not.
Have any of you ever seen Good Neighbor?
No.
No.
You're not my friends anymore.
I think I know who Kyle Mooney is.
The glasses, curly hair. Of course you do. He's the lead of this movie.
Yeah. Is he still on SNL?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've always had him and his Good Neighbor guys. They were all on SNL together based on the recommendation of Lonely Island, which now they're working together. Yorma, Andy, and Akiva all produced this film.
Mm. Dick in a Box.
Yeah, those people. and the film is very heartwarming. It's very endearing, heart in a sleeve kind of thing. It is a coming-of-age drama about a man-child trying to let go of his childhood and synthesize it into an adulthood and then, you know, in a brave new world, like finally growing up.
Mm.
And it's so fascinating how he does that. He's like, oh, I decided to make a Brigsby Bear movie because that's what I loved growing up. He's very much like a Star Wars fan. Cool. Star Wars fan. Mark Hamill.
Oh.
For some reason, she's billed higher up. Claire Danes. I don't think she deserves that high of a billing. Yeah. And Greg Kinnear and Matt Walsh and Michaela Watkins. Ryan Simpkins, which I always thought, for some reason, I thought she was Melissa Benoist, Supergirl. She looks a lot like her, especially in this movie. So, I can't talk about this much without spoiling it.
Does Mark Hamill play a big role? Is he in like most of the movie?
Yeah, I mean he's playing Kyle's dad.
Okay.
And there was a joke. He made a joke about this film. They're like, why'd you choose this? Why'd you say yes to this film? And he's like, well, I had lines because I guess Force Awakens had some and he got cut.
Yeah, oh, man.
So he's kind of a playful jab at Star Wars. That's but funny.
And this was a film that was at Sundance this year, and we had briefly mentioned it in our Sundance episode as well.
That's right. So this film's kind of cool because it asks questions like, you know, what happened to the carefree innocence of your childhood? Can you still hold on to that? Or better yet, could you use that childhood to make a living that you could be proud of? One in which you could be happy. And that's what I think it represents, the fear of letting go of growing up. Brigsby is the ultimate coming-of-age film. Ted Mitchum, who's Mark Hamill, James's dad, said it best himself in the film, "We have dreams and imaginations to help us escape, and no one can take that away from you, ever." I think we lose sight of that childhood wonder. We kind of get lost in the monotony of day-to-day life. But it's that creativity that shaped us into the humans we are today. And I think a lot of us forget we can bring that creativity along with us into adulthood, and we rarely do. And I think that's what this film is ultimately about. And again, I'm skirting a lot of spoilers, but it's hard to talk about the overall plot without, you know. I mean, I recommend it to anyone. Even if you guys have both seen it, I still wouldn't want to talk spoilers because no one else would see it.
Yeah.
So that's Brigsby Bear. That's all I can't say much else about it. Yeah. Just go watch it when you get a chance. It's expanding next week into about a dozen more cities, like Houston and San Francisco area and all that kind of stuff. And then it'll just keep expanding. It's supposed to go nationwide in a couple weeks.
Mm. Is it a contender for you?
Oh, absolutely. I have to write a post for it still. It's probably my top three right now.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really good. I'm not sure where it's going to fall, but...
Cool.
Great film.
That's awesome.
Awesome. And speaking of Hollywood icons like Mark Hamill.
Or Kyle Mooney.
Well, I don't know if he's like a Hollywood icon right now. No, I'm just kidding, he's not. But we're going to talk about one that's dead right now. Mr. George Reeves, RIP. We watched Hollywoodland, which is about George Reeves committed suicide in 1959. And the movie Hollywoodland is about the theories behind whether he was murdered or not. Hollywoodland stars Adrian Brody, Ben Affleck,
Diane Lane, Robin Tunney.
Those people. And
those are people.
Yes. And so basically, I thought Hollywoodland was really, really good. I thought it showed like the different possibilities of what could happen. It's in the movie, George Reeves' mom hires a private investigator who's played by Adrian Brody to investigate her son's death. And I just watched a video about the true events of what actually happened. And some of the mysterious circumstances were that he didn't have the gunpowder by his forehead, like normally for suicide. He didn't have...
burn. Yeah, he'd have a burn from the nozzle.
Yeah, and there were two bullet holes in the room, not one. And they couldn't find the other bullet. And usually, like suicide, you don't miss, like, because it's right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that was really weird. So there's a theory that his fiance killed him because she found out about his affair with the wife of the head of another studio. Or another theory. Yeah, something like that. Or another theory is that the person he was having an affair with killed him because he broke it off and she was unhappy.
Yeah.
Or there's another theory that the husband of
the
person killed him because he was jealous.
Studio head.
Wow. Yeah, so it basically shows
Bob
all
Hoskins,
the
by the way, love him.
Oh.
So it basically shows all the possibilities of what could have happened. It shows the girlfriend killing him, shows the other girl killing him, and they were talking about how his brakes were cut out of his car. Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but definitely the second autopsy and all that stuff is true. I was super... This movie didn't put me to sleep at all. It was super intriguing.
Is that your radar?
What was that?
This movie didn't put me to sleep, so that's pretty good.
Well, I was pretty exhausted, but like, I wasn't bored. I wasn't when is this going to end, you know? It kept my attention the whole movie.
It's like a classic film noir. It played out that way. Wow. Just a really cool like murder mystery in the set in the 50s. It was so cool.
I don't know how I like have not heard of this.
It came out in 2006?
2006, yeah.
And Ben Affleck was actually really good in it. He had the, you know, the old-timey voice and all the, you know, he was in the Superman suit because George was Superman, so he was like in the, it was super weird seeing him in that.
That's crazy.
It was the first time he had any, like, oh, wow, he can really act.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he had Geely in Daredevil 3 years before this. And, you know, he was kind of on this downward spiral after his little bump in the 90s. And then now it's coming back up. And then obviously a couple years later, he directed The Town.
Mm-hmm.
And that started his renaissance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But this movie does not have a great score on Rotten Tomatoes. And I don't understand why. Because I think it's a very good movie.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Was it the critics or the users that did it?
It was both.
Both.
They're both like around 50%.
Well, 50's not terrible.
Yeah.
This means half people liked it. That's all it means.
Yeah. It's not emoji, like zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I highly recommend this movie if you like murder mysteries, or I don't know if you would consider this true crime because it wasn't ever proven, but definitely period pieces.
I love the Hollywood murder mysteries.
Yeah.
Like real life Hollywood, like the Black Dahlia is one of like my the most fascinating cases I listen to.
This was also very cool because it really showed the impact of the death of Superman, because all the kids were, you know, in love with him.
Yeah.
And I think the kid of Adrian Brody got a Superman suit for his birthday and he like burned it because he was like, Superman's dead. He like killed himself.
No.
He's not faster than a speeding bullet, you know. It's kind of all a lie. And so all the kids were very affected by George Reeves' death.
It's so crazy. Like, people are so connected to these actors.
Yeah. There were people that said he was depressed because he was typecast, but then there were rumors that he had just made a deal for like another season. He was getting paid a lot. And like his girlfriend said she had a premonition that he was going to kill himself that night when he went upstairs. And it's like, really? Like, I don't know if that's true. To me, with all the facts, the girlfriend's pretty suspicious, but in my opinion, I think she did it, but who knows? Like, it could be.
I mean, it makes sense. It sounds like somebody definitely was involved.
Yeah.
And it sounds like she would be the one to be the one to kill him.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, go check out Hollywood Land for sure.
It's really cool, and it's really an underrated film, and it was cool to see Ben Affleck as Superman before he became Batman, and he got to fuck Superman's mom.
Yeah.
Don't put that in there.
And,
what?
And thanks to my dad for recommending this movie. We drove by George Reeves' house. Very cool. And I actually heard that the people who live in George Reeves' house now sometimes claim to hear his voice still in the attic.
I love haunted stories.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do they hear, up, up, and away?
Yeah, right.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Superman.
It's a ghost.
Faster than a speeding bullet. There was a pretty interesting scene when the kid had a real gun. Did you find out if that was real, the kid with the real gun?
The what?
Remember he was doing a live show in the movie and the kid held up a real gun?
Oh, I want to
see if the bullet bounces off. Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. I hope that's not real.
I hope, that's really good writing, though.
Yeah.
To match it up. It was creepy.
Okay, why would you want to do that? I want to see if it bounces off. Well, you don't want it to bounce off and hit somebody else, do you?
Yeah.
Like, he was like fucking going to shit his pants.
That'd be nuts if that was real.
I know.
But that's our rated R movie for the day, Communal.
Do you know what else would be nuts if it was real? A sex android from the future, from 2030, who was sent back in time to 1998.
Okay, can I point out the sad thing is that this is your 52 pickup, which means you watched it as a kid, right?
Yeah, that's the story behind it. So, in our old video market, it was called Video Market, it was next to like this little tchotchke memorabilia place called Mainly Maine. You buy...
What a name.
By Knickknacks, their main base. I know, it's really shitty. and it was on Main Street, so I guess it made sense. Oh, no. Yeah, it was.
Spelled that way?
Mainly Maine. Like, Maine, the state. as a kid, so you could rent whatever you want, obviously, if it was your age group. And I saw this, I'm like, oh, that looks like a cool sci-fi. And I looked in the back, and I was like, oh, there's, like, naked girls in here. So I was like, as a kid, I'm like, I gotta try to get this.
And hashtag episode 69.
I was 14 when it came out. I guess that's not too young. But
okay, so what is this movie called?
Veronica 2030. I guess I didn't say that earlier. So I looked this up because here's the cover. It looks like a cool sci-fi, right? And then you look into the little circles in her head, like, oh, there's some people kissing and stuff. And it says a love android in the bottom. And then you, in the back, shows like more shit going on. So I couldn't rent it. I tried renting it, and it said, oh, it's NC-17 on, or rated X. I think it was NC-17 on the sticker. So they just had a sticker on the VHS box saying...
Yeah.
So we would just peruse the entire collection of movies, and then this funny thing is, they weren't necessarily in their own section. They were kind of just dispersed. Like, these are softcore, if you will. And so anyway, I switched the sticker out with a rated R one, and I got to rent the movie.
Oh, what, my God.
Do you remember what movie you put the...
I don't know. Fuck no. The funny thing is I did not expect that to work because they still have it in their system. They say this movie is rated... Why would they not say that? Maybe they missed it. I don't know. I think I've done that. I think I did it twice, too. So eventually I came back. Like, oh, they've put the rated R sticker back on, but I still did it again.
For the same movie?
Yeah. I was a big fan of the movie. It was a cool, like, the sci-fi and stuff was that. It was pretty cool.
And then so, the naked boots probably helped.
Well, yeah, that was why I rented it. But the funny thing is, so rewatching it, I don't know who this is for. Okay, obviously they tried making a feature with a story and some sci-fi elements, but the special effects are so fucking cheesy, and the script is god awful.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's hilarious that they had this kind of movie. Like, so this is the plot. Two scientists invent a pleasure bot that has AI that was designed to bring back pleasure into a near sexless society.
That's cool. Gonna happen.
Yeah.
It's like if they were to reintroduce sex, I guess, for children and men or something.
An apocalyptic. But here's what happens. After they succeed, they go to celebrate, and an idiotic lab tech played by an acting chopless porn star ends up fucking, and I use that term loosely, in this softcore rendition. Her ends up fucking the robot and then sends her inexplicably through time by, quote, accidentally discovering naked time travel. Then Veronica...
What?
Yep. Then Veronica winds up in 1999 LA and works for a photographer in a sexy photo shoot. She just ends up in the back of his studio. And then they start modeling with two of the girls because he already has this play. So this guy named Harry's House of Fetish. He inherited from his dad, or his shady porn uncle. And he's the business is losing money. He has no hopes of ever getting money. And then all of a sudden, this Veronica girl is going to make me a lot of money. Like, it's going to turn things around. The other two girls are kind of jealous, but they're just looking to hopefully get paid for once. So the two scientists try to find when in time Veronica went to by locking on to the erotic signal that the computer was translating when Veronica was transported. We can trace the point in time of origin to find out where she landed. That is a direct quote. Really weird. Her erotic signal.
So pretty much her turned onness.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. There was really interesting, like, they actually use like real words, like hypersensitive, epidermis, and all this. They were using real words, but it's just really funny. Yeah, because I don't understand. Because softcore porn, when you watch, it's weird. Because when you see it as an adult who's already watched plenty of porn since, it doesn't do anything. Like, they're just gyrating and rubbing each other, and they're barely even like when they are like quote unquote eating each other out, or the girls, whatever. It's just like they're just like moving their head back and forth, and like it's just so.
is this softcore porn? Is that what it is?
Oh, 100%. Like, they're quote unquote having sex, but they're not. And at even one point, there was a camera shot where they show the guy, like, he had like this weird like blue device on his penis, so you couldn't have sex. It was really fucking weird.
So this isn't like a serious movie then?
No, it's a porn, but it's softcore porn. So it's like something you see on HBO, but you There's no penetration. There's no actual sex involved at all. I was trying to see, like, maybe they're going to really do it and not show it. No.
That's hilarious.
But here's the thing, right? So I remember losing my mind when I first saw they were like little Puppet Master dolls, like the little horror movie icons I used to watch on the photographer's desk. There's a little six shooter and a torch. And then I wrote here, maybe Full Moon has ties into porn, but they were actually the same company. Full Moon and Surrender were like a off branch of each other. So that's why they get to use it. It really blew my mind. I'm like, what the fuck? Again, I was like, why is this here? Yeah, so all this movie really entails is naked gyrating bodies with wandering hands and little else. There's a scene, though, that had two models scissoring over a guy because there's like a three-way. And if that was positioned right, I imagine it would feel pretty good for everybody involved. But, okay, yeah. The softcore porn scenes were actually getting in the way of the story for me this time. I'm not even kidding.
Get on with it.
I'm like, yeah, this is really boring. Like, if there's nothing going on, I'm not going to, like, as a kid, I'm like.
Going crazy.
Loving it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going crazy, all right. That's the way. Yeah. But, like, here, I'm like, this is so fucking boring. I mean, because it has to be for teens, because adults don't give a shit, and obviously kids are too young. But teen Jamie was like, I love this movie. And my brother was 3 years younger, and he watched it with me, too.
That's at the same time. Like, you guys
sit. Oh, yeah, we'd sit. I mean, it was like a movie. Yeah. We watched it together. But, I mean, it's just, it's so weird. It's just.
So it didn't hold up?
No, it didn't hold up at all. I mean, the story was cheesy, but at least that was fun. And I had to go on xvideos.com to watch it because I couldn't find it anywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even on iTunes?
No.
Are you sure they didn't have it at Odyssey Video?
They might have, actually. Probably this one. Because it is on DVD, I guess. I don't know. I had to look it up. I guess there was an unrated version. It was apparently more steamier, but I didn't see that.
You didn't see the more steamier Veronica 2030.
Yeah. Oh, so the porn star, she was Julia Ann. I don't think she was a porn star then. She's a pretty good-looking girl, though. She was, like, gorgeous. And then I looked at the videos of her after now. She's, like, she's aged somewhat. Well, there's probably some work done, but it's just a really weird thing to. God, almost 20 years ago this came out.
Wow.
So creepy.
And it's almost 20 years till. Actually, less than 20 years. It's like 13 years till 2030.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which still might be sex robots. I mean, there's already sex robots now. Japan's pretty good.
Apparently, it's going to be a sexless world, so that's what we have to look forward to.
Great. That's so sad.
And
don't worry. Of course, the two scientists have a sex scene, quote unquote sex scene. You know,
male, female.
Yeah,
male,
female.
Man, why couldn't it be male?
I know.
I think it was too early.
It's not marketable.
It was too early.
It's not marketable.
That would have been like Victor 2030.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not say no to Victor 2030.
Yeah. I'm here to please.
So tune in next week to hear Tim talk about Victor 2030.
Yeah, he's going to make the film. And then
starring Jamie and Alex.
Oh, no.
Yay!
Premiering at Cannes 2018.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That'd be so weird to be in a softcore porn. Like, these guys, I can't imagine anyone that is doing this kind of weird shit. Oh, my God. Right? They have to act like they're interested in what's going on. Like, they're excited. Like, no. Oh, I didn't tell you the best part. There's a woman who has a competing sex company, and she's trying to shut Harry out and get Veronica for her. And so there's a sex scene where she, like, keeps Veronica in this room, and she just has a camera on her 24/7 trying to get her to have sex all the time for a cable network. It's so fucking weird.
Did you save this movie to the 69th episode?
Yes, I did. 69. That's why I put it out there.
Cool.
Even if there's not a single 69 in this whole fucking movie. And that's my 52 pickup, people.
That makes me very happy.
What a way to end it.
Exactly.
If you are still here after that porn, I would say subscribe on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because may not talk about porns anymore, but we still have some fun. We are on Facebook at Not Quite Hollywood. We're on Twitter at NQHPod.
Make sure you like us, follow us.
If you want to see some of your favorite shitty movies, or hopefully good movies, and you want to recommend them for us to watch here, email us at notquietpod@gmail.com.
Or you could tweet us, or you could comment. Send us the title of the movie. That's it. And we'll watch it. Oh, I'm sorry.
They won't do that. No one listening is actually going to email us, right?
Yeah, no one emails us.
Come on.
They don't love us. No one's going to know.
Oh, my God.
If you want your Force Awakens, well, we can do it another week. We'll see. Email us for the digital copy of Star Wars Force Awakens. Make sure you get it before Last Jedi comes out, because, you know, nobody's seen Force Awakens yet, so...
Spoilers, The Last Jedi has The Last Jedi.
Does it?
Probably not.
No.
And I'm on Instagram and Twitter, Guy on a Wire. That's where we also post this every week. You can see our entire backlog, guyonawire.com. And what's your guys' plugs?
My Instagram is Me and My Blazer, and my movie review site is Doggone Movie Reviews.
Mine is just called Butt Plug.
Butt Plug?
Review Porn? No, my Instagram is Tim Jim Lim Artist, and my Twitter is Tim J Lim.
All right.
And Facebook is Tim J Lim as well.
Still no public release in Jerky?
No, not yet. We're
still doing festival.
Waiting for Manhattan, Sundance, and LA Liftoff.
Nice. So. Very cool.
Yeah, the deadlines for those are all coming up in like the next few weeks, so hopefully it'll be public soon.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, until next time, I'm Jamie.
I'm Alan.
And I'm Tim.
Have a good night.
Bye.